Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
What is neoliberalism? It's the equivalent of electoral fascism. It's defined as a policy model that seeks to transfer control of economic factors to the private sector from the public sector. So neoliberalism is a form of corporatism where the interests of capital are directly implemented by capitalists after the government defers to act in the public interest by ceding power to private interests.
So that's a lot of words to basically say that the government just gives away what's yours to private corporations. And they do it at every single level. And you see it from privatization of water, and you see it from one of the biggest policy failures of our generation, which is the fact that Barack Obama, as president, was swept in office, had a 60-vote filibuster-proof majority. He had the House. He had 2 years to take care of whatever he wanted to do. And what happened? The Democratic Party basically passed a watered-down health bill that relied on government giving out handouts to giant corporations. And so there's things like, you know, the individual mandate that requires you to go ahead and get a insurance. But who you pay it to? You don't pay it to the government to have a single payer. You pay it to a corporation who raises your rates based primarily on risk factors that affect their profit. So instead of the government saying, hey, we're going to do single payer and we're going to totally revamp and redistribute the needs of the people, we're going to go out and give it away to private industry. And what happened is during this time in which all of this, debate's going on, you end up with a bunch of people with power, a bunch of lobbyists who are all inserting small little things in the bill, and you end up with this 1,000-page bill, which is nothing but handouts to corporations in every single sector. So you have things from wealth management to private insurance to a nonsensical, insurance tax here or there. You have the tax on prosthetics or medical devices, but that got watered down because it's an IRS requirement and they just got rid of that rule. So all these small things that add up to basically a bill that's limping along on life support that hasn't really seen rates decrease. There's individuals who are paying more for premiums now and getting less care than when they had it before the Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act went through. So case in point, we now have high deductible health care plans, which basically means you really only have catastrophic insurance. Why do we have that? Well, because that allows corporations to give you all the risk and take all the reward for themselves. And so things like you have a $3,700 premium or deductible means that you're paying an insurance company every month, and then you have to kick in 100% until you get to $3,700 or $4,000 or $5,000, which means you're paying for your care. And it basically rewards a system of people who are not going to go to the doctor because they do. It costs them real money. So let's go back to the neoliberal idea of this. So instead of us going through and making sure that we have a healthy society and making sure that we have ourselves a single-payer system that allows anybody to have insurance and walk in, we basically completely revamped our already destroyed system and made it an even bigger mess of more and more nested ideas. So things like, again, changing billing laws, but now we have more billers. And if you don't know what a biller is, they're individuals that in the doctor's office make sure they file your claims with the insurance company, where the insurance company will reject it and then file it again in order for them to actually get paid. There's things like in and out of network, which means the doctors are allowed to charge you more if you're out of network or the insurance company pays you less. There's all these things that are promoted and help private industry, but not you.
So you're telling me that the Republican complaints about the healthcare bill were perhaps tangible, if not for the completely wrong reasons?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Republicans' complaint were tangible because they wrote this bill a long time ago.
Mitt Romney.
And it was terrible then. Mitt Romney, right? Terrible bill then. It's neoliberalism, right? So take one step back, go a little higher. We have a two-party system that are both filled neoliberals who are both parties of capital, in which they don't really represent the people, they represent special interests and wealth. And that's why we go back to the idea of electoral fascism, because everybody that gets elected works for private industry and not for you.
And this can be seen in Obama's sort of neoliberal mindset about how if I appease the private industry, the private industry will reciprocate and appease my needs or my electoral outcomes. And yeah, that's correct, because industry literally lobbies to have exactly that happen. So Obama defers to industry on healthcare. The healthcare industry turns around and says, all right, well, Obama helped us, so I guess we'll help him because that supports our profit motive. And then Obama gets to persist as the, you know, president in power, even though he really has no autonomy or authority on healthcare because he's delegated the responsibility, the power to private industry.
Yeah, you see this in every aspect of Obama's presidency, right? He deferred to private industry for helping with recovery, with the automotive industry stuff. I mean, that's even when he was in the Senate at that point in time. I mean, everything that he ever lived for, banking regulations, everything he did was all deferred to the industry itself. And that's why we see in every presidency basic corruption in which they bring in, you know, industry experts to run primarily public sector positions. So you have like bankers coming in and running the Treasury. You have Halliburton individuals running, you know, the Department of Energy or the EPA. You have a lot of these people that come in and have neoliberal ideas that they're going to run like a business, when really they should be running it for the people, not for profits. And so you see a lot of rollback and regulations and things that are quote unquote business friendly. And that's one of our key words for today. If you hear the word business friendly, that is a code word for basically hand out to basically the neoliberal class or just the capitalist class. So always be wary when you hear the term business friendly, because it does not help you. It will not ever help you, because it basically cuts out all the regulations in place to protect you. The rollback of Glass-Steagall hurt you because they thought the banking industry would take care of themselves, right? The credit industry would take care of themselves. As long as we have a free market, it'll take care of themselves. That's all bullshit. It doesn't take care of themselves. We need a heavy-handed government to come through and make sure it's taken care of. And what I mean is, having a free market does not mean that you're not going to get ripped off on health insurance, because there's no, it's not transparent. It does, you don't have the ability to actually bid within the healthcare industry because you're rolled in with every other person as an investment. And I won't go into that too heavily because it gets into basically pure economics and it's not a very fun thing to talk about. But if you go back to what neoliberalism is, it's basically allowing the, you know, private industry and free market capitalism to run every single thing that you hold near and dear. And another example you're going to see is when you see waste management picking up your trash instead of your public service people, when you see people trying to get your water supply privatized, things like this that you see every single day, when you're seeing your lunch ladies, instead of them, I shouldn't say ladies, lunch people, you know, in schools, instead of them making lunches, they're just unpacking already prepared meals from another company. So instead of us having a public sector that's working for us and working to better themselves and work in a better society, we have a bunch of private people who are just trying to skim off the top, private prisons in which they're taking money that should go to, I shouldn't say, you know, caring for the people that are under, you know, arrest or I guess imprisonment, and taking it for profit. And so the care that they would have received, they have to skim off the top somewhere. The same thing as sheriffs taking money if they want to and give them out to private people to come in and run the same jails. So again, we're seeing the erosion of our public interest to the private sector under neoliberalism, and it's happened over the last, what, 60 years or so, 65 years?
Yeah, so the last president that wasn't a neoliberal was Lyndon Baines Johnson in the early 60s, and he kind of accidentally came to power as a result of Kennedy getting shot. So LBJ basically spent his entire career accruing power. He had some absolutely terrible policies like Vietnam. He's a war criminal like every other president. But something that you can say about his presidency is that he spent political capital on domestic issues. He understood power. He knew how to get stuff done. And so his crowning achievement is the 1964 Civil Rights Act and the 1965 Voting Rights Act. And he, I mean, for a long time as a senator, kind of actively opposed these concepts. But that was in the pursuit of power. And so he gave a shit about civil rights when he became president, because his entire goal in his political career was to amass enough power to become president so that he could make life better for the basically the Mexican students that he taught when he was in his early 20s. So he he actually cared about outcomes, and as president, he acted upon them. And this is a substantial kind of deviation from our current kind of presidential mindset, which relies a little bit on class consciousness to exploit political power. And so Johnson used this, his concept of class consciousness and class conflict, to amass power and then use it, while presidents like Obama have used class consciousness and class conflict to perpetuate the perception of power by deferring to these neoliberal institutions. So Johnson knew that racism was a byproduct of class conflict, and this is one of his more famous quotes, and this is a quote. "I'll tell you what's at the bottom of racism. If you can convince the lowest white man he's better than the best colored man, he won't notice you're picking his pocket. Hell, give him somebody to look down on and he'll empty his pockets for you." So this is basically Trump's strategy. And LBJ kind of verbalized this in the 60s. And I mean, Trump got elected on it, but Trump has absolutely zero power because the entire party structures of both parties is neoliberal. And the result of coming to power based on this class conflict kind of by definition ensures that you have no power once you actually get there, which is completely different than what LBJ did. He understood and amassed power and then used it. So in today's power structures, politicians typically derive their power through electoralism, whereas now they derive their power through corporatism. So today's parties are beholden to corporations, not the electorate. So if you turn on the TV and watch any program, there's going to be a commercial during one of the, you know, 3-minute sections that has Starbucks or McDonald's or ExxonMobil or some mega corporation thanking their employees for being economic hostages, or talking about Black Lives Matter and how we've really always valued Black concepts. But really, really they haven't. It's a relatively new thing because they've decided that Black Lives Matter is coherent with their profit motive. So during the civil rights movement of the 1960s, did corporations ever run ads saying, "We think that Blacks should have the right to vote"? No, that never happened. And we're only seeing it happen from corporations now, today, like literally 50 years later, because they've determined that there's a profit motive to advocating for civil rights.
Yeah, I love these points because it's pure exploitation, and it exploits everything that's about you that you hold near and dear, because they've taken these movements that the electorate is fighting for and they've sucked them into their own power structure now. And so instead of the electorate being the one that's mad, now the corporations are the one that's mad. And because of this, they're the ones that are actually controlling public policy, and they're the ones that are controlling, you know, how the public discourse is taking place. So the fact that now, you know, Black Lives Matters to Starbucks, okay, now, oh, the police are going to be upset that they can't go in there and get that, so now we're going to have police reform and they're on our side. So what does that mean? It means that they're going to have more people trying to come in and support Starbucks. Not because Starbucks gives a shit, but because Starbucks convinced you that they actually did care. And corporations don't actually have feelings. They don't care about anything. They care purely about profit motives. And the fact that we defer all of our institutions to private corporations means we defer everything that we care about in society to some sort of private equity fund or some sort of investment group that only cares about profit. And we see this. I mean, every single day we see it in charter schools, we see it in private schools, we see it in, again, the waste management, all of our public services being kicked off into private corporations. We're seeing asking for consultants. The biggest one is the defense industry, where we pay tons and tons of people to, you know, make weapons for us. We see SpaceX, which is just recycling, you know, NASA's research from 60 years ago as if it's brand new. I mean, it's a rocket. The propulsion systems have been designed 50 years ago. I mean, there's no new oxidizers that's come out. You can look it up. There's no new oxidizers. The control systems are exactly the same. You cannot control that fast because it's supersonic, right? It's just recycling technology and hoping the private sector will help fund it. And this is an erosion, and we see it every day. And what happens now is it's becoming normalized, which now is we see the normalization of private becoming public, or public, I guess, becoming private. And we see that electoral fascism we're talking about, in which we allow corporations to become part of our government because we are electing individuals who are fighting to do those things. So some of them do, you know, lip service saying, oh, I want to protect, you know, Medicare. But Medicare is still ran by private interest groups. I want to protect Social Security. Social Security is still being attacked, saying they want to invest your money into the private market. Right? We want to protect the post office, but they're still trying to attack the post office and run as a business to allow U.S. Or UPS and FedEx to still have a quote-unquote fighting chance against big government. So it's really important that as we begin to investigate and look at all of the how all this neoliberal, you know, conversion again from public to private, that we look inside and ask ourselves what we hold near and dear. And as a worker, you should hold near and dear other workers who are helping society, not helping out the bottom line. And so one of the things we're going to ask you to do, and this is part of hopefully the worker movement itself, is to start identifying institutions in your community that derive their power from profit. And so what you're going to see is you're going to see a marriage of these private industries enshrined in neoliberal policies, but also pulled into your local governments. So these capitalistic institutions are going to be part of the boards. They're going to have members on both sides. Examples are going to be if a charity belongs to your city, or if they have, you know, like a special booster club for the city or a booster club for the sports teams. Chamber of Commerce is number one. Never support a business that supports Chamber of Commerce. Never support the Chamber of Commerce. They are one of the biggest corrupted things you can have institutions, because they steer all local governments to get rid of the public sector and go to private because of quote unquote, right? They're going to be business friendly. And again, that is your keyword. If you see business friendly, you run away, you call bullshit on it, right? Same thing with community banks, investments. Really take a look around you in your community and see how all the things that used to be public are being converted into private sector for-profit institutions.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.